Good evening and welcome to The Late Debate. I'm Katie Hannan, and joining me in studio tonight I have Robert Troy, Fianna Fáil TD for Longford West Meath and party spokesperson on business, enterprise and innovation, Darren O'Rourke, Sinn Féin TD for Meath East, Michael McNamara, independent TD for Clare, Colette Brown, Irish independent columnist, and we're hoped to be joined shortly by Professor Gary Murphy of the School of Law and Government in DCU. We want to hear from you, so get in touch with us. You can text us on 51551, email latedebate@rte.ie. or tweet to @LateDebateRTE, hashtag RTELD. So it was a very big day for the 48 newly elected TDs and indeed all the 160 TDs of the 33rd Dáil. Here is how the day went.
All my father's family were Fianna Fáil and all my mother's family were Fianna Gael, so they're bred in independent.
When it's not always raining, there'll be days like this when there's no one.
It's surreal, to be honest, because over the last couple of weeks there's been so much to do that today is kind of the day of sitting, so it makes it a bit more formal and realistic.
We're excited. It's great to have my two grandparents here today and my mum, my cousin, my aunt. Yeah, no nerves. It's a lovely occasion and we're just excited to get stuck in, really.
When you don't need to worry, there'll be days like this.
I didn't expect to top the poll, no. Looking forward to it now. Hopefully I'll be able to make a difference to the people of Meath West. And when I'm gone, hopefully people will say he left the place better than when he went in there.
Deputy Christopher O'Sullivan, I'm a TD for Cork South West for Fianna Fáil. It feels a bit odd, to be honest. It feels odd. This whole occasion is a bit odd, but at the same time, I'm incredibly proud and incredibly privileged.
When you don't need an answer, there'll be days
Alan
like
Dillon,
this.
Mayo constituency, here in Leinster House for the first day. Really excited. It's an immensely proud moment for me, my family, and all my supporters who have helped me the past couple of weeks on a very difficult campaign. Listen, any excuse for Mayo people to travel to Dublin.
Jennifer Whitmore, Social Democrats TD for Wicklow.
Now you're surrounded by your four children and your husband, Jennifer. A lovely crowd here to see you on your first day. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling it's very exciting. It's a real pleasure to be here and it's a real honour actually to be here representing Wicklow.
And of course, you're off school today, are you?
Yeah.
What do you think your mum's going to be doing now for her job?
Making love.
There'll be days like this.
And that was Jennifer Whitmore's daughter there at the end of that montage of the opening day of the 33rd Dáil. Darren O'Rourke, you're the newbie here. How was it like for you today? What was it like?
It was a great experience. It was an experience I obviously never had before, or not from a political family. So to have my parents there, my wife, our two-year-old, just the experience of it. There was an element of pageantry about it. I think there are some people that bring that to it, which is nice. And just to go in and experience the Leinster House complex for my parents in particular, it's a long way from the corridors of power that we're from. So it was just a great privilege on my own behalf and on our family's behalf. And I think for the people I represent and for the party and our supporters. So I was very, very grateful for that. And then you very quickly come to terms with the job at hand, and you know, I think that's the really important thing, that you know, we're in a very privileged position, but it comes with significant responsibility, and we have our eyes wide open in terms of what's expected of us as a party, of me as a TD, and we mean to go about delivering the type of change that people expect of us, I think.
Michael McNamara, it's a long, long way from Clare to here, but you've been here before.
Yeah, I have.
Is it different coming in? Obviously, you were elected as a Labour TD before, now
yeah,
as
I mean,
an independent.
Look, completely different in a variety of ways. Obviously, I listened to what Darren said, and I mean, when I came here, like it was 9 years ago, it was with my parents, and you know, it's a wonderful honour to be elected. I suppose it's an equal honour to be elected the second time. But I suppose you reflect a bit on what's changed in your life. And obviously, I'm an independent now, and it brings with it its own freedoms and difficulties.
I'm thinking it was 2011 when you came in. You had a lot of Labour colleagues at that time.
Yeah, I think 37. I went up to 38 with Patrick Nulty with a by-election.
Would you see that as a cautionary tale for the man sitting beside you now?
Well, certainly nothing takes the shine off a party like a term in government. I mean, I'm the only Labour backbencher from that government in the Dáil now, and I'm not a member of the Labour Party. I suppose it's politics. It depends on how it's done. I mean, the numbers were very different then, and ultimately it's a numbers game. I mean, Fine Gael were, I think, it was a 7 votes short of a majority then in 2011, and it's a very different dynamic now in the Dáil. I mean, you have 3 parties of roughly equal size.
Robert, it is a very different dynamic now. It's I suppose we had it in 2016 as well, the first day, but no Taoiseach at the end of it.
Yeah, I suppose the first time I was elected was 2011, which wasn't a great election for our party. And that did, as Michael said, there was a clear majority there. The 2 parties came together and had the largest majority in the history of state. Taoiseach elected, cabinet appointed by the end of the day. So there was huge certainty in terms of where you go from here. 2016 saw the outgoing government at the time decimated at the polls, and a stalemate in terms of where a government was going to be formed from. And as a result of that, there was uncertainty for a period, I think, up to 70-odd days, when there was intensive negotiations in terms of trying to bring about a stable government. At the time, some parties sat out. They didn't want to be party to those negotiations, good, bad or indifferent. They didn't feel their mandate entitled them to be party to it. And we're in a similar situation here today. We have uncertainty in terms of where we go to from here. But what we have been quite clear about as a party, and I suppose in the whole general election, we gave a commitment to the people who supported us, and it came up time and time again on the doors in terms of what position would we take after the votes were counted.
I suppose it's fair to say, though, that when you were making those commitments, you were imagining a very different scenario than the one you ultimately found yourselves in when you were coming back into the Dáil with...
Yeah, well, look at, I suppose, seats. You know, the polls changed quite dramatically in terms of, as the campaign went on, there was a shift in terms of people's attitude to parties. Support ebbed away from certain parties, and some parties gained traction and gained momentum as the campaign went on. At every stage, when asked and pressed quite repeatedly, Micheál Martin was pressed in terms of his position and the party position in relation to entering a coalition government with Sinn Féin after general election, and he was quite clear. And I think he again.
You weren't too hot on the idea of entering coalition with Fine Gael either, as I recall.
Certainly what we had campaigned on was to lead an alternative government, a coalition government. We obviously knew the day of one party government is long gone, but a coalition with the Greens, Social Democrats, the Labour Party, like minded independents.
But
we have said and outlined our position that is our preferred option still, and there is an opportunity there to lead another minority government made up of, as outlined already, facilitated and supported by other parties.
But you would need your only route to power has to have support in one shape or form from Fine Gael. You do accept that.
Yes, without question. But I think there's an onus and a responsibility in the national interest for Fine Gael to do that. And you can't forget that
the mandate that you got not to go into government with Sinn Féin, was that not also a mandate not to have the support of Fine Gael in any new arrangement?
Well, what we have to do is ensure that...
That was a yes or no. Robert.
What we have to do is ensure that we have a stable government that can provide the change that the electorate...
I asked you about the mandate that you received.
What we want to do is lead a minority government made up with like-minded parties. And there will need to be a facilitation, but that's not necessarily going into government with Fine Gael.
Okay.
I think Fine Gael and Leo Varadkar...
I don't recall any discussions about facilitating being slightly different.
Well, during the course of the campaign, on a number of occasions, the Taoiseach was asked on various occasions, would he facilitate a minority government? Would he reciprocate a similar arrangement that we had done? And he said yes, if Fianna Fáil came back a larger party, he would certainly look at that.
That's what the Taoiseach said. What I'm saying is what Micheál Martin said in the course of that campaign. Colette, do you remember what Micheál Martin said in the course of the campaign?
Yes, I do. And he specifically ruled out government with Sinn Féin, but he also, on numerous occasions, and so did other members of the party, including Barry Cowan and Jim O'Callaghan, absolutely rule out coalition with Fine Gael. So they're not prepared to row back on the commitment they gave not to go into government with Sinn Féin. But the commitment not to go into government with Fine Gael, well, that's a bit wobblier and that's a bit more opaque, and there's room there to negotiate. And I noticed what Robert said there about confidence in supply or facilitation. It seems to be the initial reaction from both Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael TDs in the immediate aftermath of the election was confidence in supply has been a disaster. It's been a disaster for Fianna Fáil. It's been a disaster for Fine Gael. The public didn't buy that it wasn't a coalition. It was coalition light. And, you know, so now we were hearing from Robert that actually maybe confidence in supply is back on the cards again. So it's, you know, confidence in supply is dead. Long live confidence in supply.
How are you reading this, Gary Murphy?
I think confidence in supply is a busted flush. And I thought it's been a busted flush ever since Simon Coveney said so immediately after the election.
I recall he said it didn't work for Fianna Fáil, it didn't work for Fine Gael, and it didn't work for the country.
Exactly, yeah. And it didn't work for Fianna Fáil. In fact, it was the worst of all worlds, because they were seen as by the public as being in power when they clearly were not. They had none of the spoils of power. And I don't mean that in a pejorative way, but it's true. And then Micheál Martin struggled very much so in the election to portray himself as the agent of change, which Mary Lou MacDonald was able to portray herself as by painting, to use that awful phrase, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael as Tweedledum and Tweedledee. I don't tend to think that is correct. By the way, I do think there are significant differences between the parties. If you look closely enough, Fine Gael are still, I think, quite clearly on the centre-right. And Fianna Fáil have been painting themselves as centre-left for at least a decade now. And Bertie Ahern was, of course, painting himself as centre-left. I think still, though, although it's a Herculean task, Mary Lou MacDonald and this left coalition, while a minute chance, is not out of the running. If she could persuade the rural independents to form some sort of bloc.
If.
There's lots of ifs, exactly.
There's an awful lot of ifs in that one.
But, you know, that's what the electorate have given. It's not
a more credible option than having, you know, two larger parties in government together. The problem is that Micheál Martin has painted himself into a corner, and there were so many red lines that he made in advance of the election. Won't go into government with Sinn Féin, won't go into government with Fianna Fáil. Sinn Féin, in advance of the election, they said their preferred option was a left-leaning government, but that they'd be willing to talk to everybody. Leo Varadkar, in fairness to him, he was asked numerous times, would he go into a coalition with Fianna Fáil? He said he didn't want to, but as a last resort he would. And Micheál Martin was very definitive all the way through the campaign, and so were high-profile Fianna Fáil TDs. No coalition with Sinn Féin, no coalition with Fine Gael, and they found themselves now with the arithmetic not making sense for them unless they choose one of those two options.
Okay, let's just look at what did happen today and who did get elected today, because there was one landslide victory in the Dáil today. Let's have a listen.
I'm even more humbled by the graciousness of the comments that have been made. I pinched myself there at one stage just to make sure I wasn't dead. But I do appreciate what you've said.
And that was, of course, Sean O'Farrill in flying form, having been re-elected by a massive majority to be the Ciann Comhairle of the 33rd Dáil. Robert, what are you thinking? You only have the 38 TDs and you're after letting Sean O'Farrill off to be Ciann Comhairle.
I think Sean O'Farrill did a great job in the last Dáil, and I think by virtue of the fact of the landslide victory that he received today, it was widely acknowledged across the political divide that he was a very fair, impartial chair for the last 4 years. Personally speaking, I think we should have held on to him. I think when numbers are tight, every vote counts.
Was this discussed at the parliamentary party meeting?
It was so tight, in fairness. We're not talking about back like in 1997-2002 when they were only needing three or four votes to get a majority. We're such a long way to get a majority. One vote is not going to make a huge difference. To answer your question, was it discussed at the parliamentary party meeting? It was. A number of my colleagues had already signed
his nomination papers,
and I think there was huge, unanimous support practically at the parliamentary party to support Sean based on his track record and based on what he had achieved.
But surely somebody did put up their hand and say, listen, we appreciate, and there was no voice raised against Sean O'Friel in any, in terms of his record. But in the situation you find yourselves, it seems a bit careless to let one of your precious votes.
No, as I said, Katie, if you were in a situation where you were just trying to make up a difference of two or three, one vote would be critical. But when you're in a situation at 37 to 38, it's not a huge difference. There is a big bridge to gap. And I don't think
if you're going to be trying to pick off independents individually, that one vote could prove crucial down the line.
I don't think so. And I think, he has been unanimously, well, I won't say unanimously, he was unanimously selected by our own parliamentary party, and he got a landslide victory today, and good luck to him in his term ahead.
Gary, were you surprised to see Sean O'Friel nominated, that Micheál Martin gave the imprimatur for that to happen?
Well, I don't think he gave the imprimatur, is what I understand, that he didn't want him to run. But Sean O'Friel, who I agree with Robert, did a tremendous job. I mean, he was the first Cowan Court elected by a secret ballot back in 2016. And those of us who had been looking for political reform think that's a pretty important initiative at the time, and it certainly wasn't an easy doll to control, and I think he did a very good job, and that mandate that he got today is symptomatic of that. But yeah, it goes to a weakness in Fianna Fáil. I mean, I can't, to go back to Colette's point, I cannot see after what Micheál Martin said today in the doll and his stringent insistence of not going into government with Sinn Féin, that he could lead Fianna Fáil into such a government and would probably have to resign if the parliamentary party changed, if there wasn't, if he can't do the coalition with Fine Gael, because I don't think confidence supply, as I said earlier, is on the table.
Do you think that Micheál Martin simply didn't, was so weak and embattled at the moment that he couldn't actually hold the line with Sean O'Friel?
Well, that's what it appears to be. I tend to agree with you. I mean, Katie, in the light of the fact, if you're looking to get independents to support you, particularly in confidence and supply, it seems to me you need every vote. If it's a coalition with the Greens and the Social Democrats and you've 90-odd, I thought it was an interesting thing today, though. For the first time, I really heard someone in Fianna Fáil talk explicitly about coalition with Fine Gael, as Niall Collins did. Jack Chambers mentioned it again tonight on primetime. So it seems to me that there is certainly there's a softening towards Fine Gael from at least some senior members of the Fianna Fáil Parliamentary Party. The grassroots are a different thing completely, of course.
Oh, yeah, we'll have a chat about indeed that shortly. Michael McNamara, your name was being floated around as a possible Cian Corla candidate. Where might that have come from?
I think that we need quite a bit of reform in the Dáil. Obviously, Sean O'Farrell is a hugely popular, both personally and for his achievements, including among them being elected as by secret ballot. But at the same time, there's an increasing tendency by government departments not to answer parliamentary questions. There's an increasing tendency by governments to kill debates by saying the Attorney General's advice is, and of course the Attorney General is not, in this instance, is not a member of the Dáil, isn't the advisor to the Dáil, but it's for the Oireachtas to legislate, not the government, and the Attorney General advises the government. And the use of the money message. I heard of one bill, I wasn't in the last Dáil, but one bill didn't get a money message because it would cost money to print it. And therefore, it was going to be a, there was no exchequer.
Sorry, am I hearing here that you felt you were the man that might reform the situation?
I feel there was an urgent need to reform the Dáil, and Dennis Nocton put himself forward on that agenda. It was unsuccessful.
Did you think about putting yourself forward?
I said that there's an urgent need to reform the Dáil. I would do it for a short period, but if anybody else wanted to put themselves forward on a reform agenda, I would support them. And Dennis Nocton did that, and I was very happy to support him. I still think, notwithstanding Sean O'Farrell's success, and I admire his achievements, but I think we have a lot more to do in reforming the Dáil. I think it's important. I mean, we have, for all of the politicians that were on Kildare Street today, there were a lot more civil servants, and they're working very hard. spending taxpayers' money, and they have to be accountable for that. And the way they're accountable is via their ministers to the Dáil. And unless parliamentary questions are being answered, we have very little accountability in our political system. So I think it's a broad systemic problem that I believe needs to be tackled.
Yeah, because Dennis Nocton was a credible candidate for that, Colette.
I thought his speech was very good, and he hit on a number of issues that really annoy TDs, so particularly questions in relation to the HSE and the very fact that TDs have to pose those questions as a parliamentary question, because if they go to the HSE directly, they're not going to get a response. And he was saying it takes 8 to 10 weeks for a response to come back on those issues. And then he mentioned GDPR, which is an increasingly difficult problem. And it's a problem for journalists as well, trying to get freedom of information requests from various departments. And suddenly GDPR is an excuse for no information about absolutely anything to be released, because people have completely misunderstood that legislation. But I think the problem for Dennis Nocton was that not only is Sean O'Farrell popular and he was going on his record, which is a good record, but there was a strategic reason to vote for Sean O'Farrell. So I would be shocked if all of the Sinn Féin TDs hadn't voted for Sean O'Farrell, because obviously he gets the Fianna Fáil TD off the pitch. And similarly for Fine Gael, even though Dennis Nocton is a former member of Fine Gael, I'd be shocked if the Fine Gael didn't vote for him also, because of the same reason, because Fianna Fáil are down one and the numbers are more or less at parity now.
Yeah, Gary, you wanted to get in there.
Well, it was a good speech, but I mean, Dennis Nocton has been in government, and he was in government and was basically forced out by his Taoiseach for the very odd scenario where he was meeting lobbyists in a so-called private capacity. That was his first sort of brush with his government. And so while it was an impressive speech and made lots of the points Colette said, I wasn't really convinced, I have to say.
Yeah, Darren.
I think Sean O'Farrell, and I wasn't a member of the previous government, but I know from colleagues their experience of dealing with Sean O'Farrell was a significant advantage for him in a two horse race, if you like, and I very much take on board the comments that were made by Dennis Nocton in terms of reform. I would have experienced myself in terms of access to information through parliamentary questions, and I'm someone who's repeatedly submitted freedom of information requests to the Department of Health and to the HSE to try and garner information, so I know the challenges that are there. And in fairness to Sean O'Farrell, I think he talked about
his record
and also outlined upcoming meetings of the business committee to take on board even within the 2 week period to get the ball rolling.
Can okay. I just come in there when we talk about and I think Michael made a very good point in relation to the change that's needed in the permanent arm of government and the civil service that doesn't change every time an election comes, and ensuring that people who are at a very senior level within the civil service are answerable and held accountable, because ultimately at the end of the day politicians have to stand over the record and they go to the electorate every 4 or 5 years or whatever period of time an election is held, and they're held accountable for the lack of decisions or for whatever decisions they have made. There are very senior public servants, and I'm not tarring them all with the one brush, they're very good public servants, but they're also public servants who aren't doing their job right and they're not held accountable. And I think there does need to be greater reforms brought in to ensure that these people have more accountability. And I'd also, I had tea last night with our own whip, and he said the business committee, currently made up in the Dáil, 8 whips, the various political groupers, goes to the business committee. 16 officials attend the business committee for 8 whips. That to me is just bizarre in terms of saying what can be done and what can't be done. And I think if anything needs to change, and I think Sean has proven that he is a willing chair that will be able to chair a new committee that can look at what reforms can be further introduced to bring about a better system and more fit for purpose system.
Okay, let's move on, because of course the main business of the day was the attempts to elect a Taoiseach, the failed attempts. Let's just have a listen to those nominations.
Onor Mór Domsa, Vehen Shohanu, Con Anam Leo Vradkar, Akararai, Marielle Offig an Taoiseach.
On behalf of the Fianna Fáil Party, I am proud beyond measure to nominate Deputy Micheál Martin for the office of Taoiseach.
Nobody in this Dáil can lead that government for change other than Chapter Mary Lou MacDonald. She has shown that she is willing to reach out, to listen to and to work with all and everyone in this Dáil.
Éamon also encapsulates a spirit that needs to be central to the 33rd Dáil if it is to succeed. The spirit of collaboration and reaching out to others and working with people you might not have worked with before or might not have dreamt of working with before.
And those were the nominations, the four nominations for Taoiseach. Mary Lou MacDonald, of course, got the most votes, 45 votes a day. Darren O'Rourke, were you surprised at some of the people who decided to give Mary Lou the vote today?
No, I wasn't. I think it was reflective of a number of things. I think it was reflective of the type of election we've just come through. I think it was reflective of the efforts made following that election by Sinn Féin to engage with parties, with individuals, with groupings within the Dáil.
There was a lot of conditionality attached to a lot of those votes today, though. A lot of subject to, you know, looking at your programme for government, subject to your costings, subject to you not going into government with Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil.
Oh, I think understandably, there is a very real fear amongst people, and it's not limited to those groups that, you know, outside of Sinn Féin, there's a very real fear that the prospect of a coalition with Fianna Fáil, or, you know, the less likely prospect of a coalition with Fine Gael, would severely impact on the ability of Sinn Féin and government to deliver on I think is a very clear mandate that the electorate have given us. So I think that's a That's clear. I think that's something that we all have to be conscious of. But I think fundamentally what we need to be talking about is not the individuals or the party groupings. It's around what type of programme for government can be put together to deliver on the clear mandate that is there. And there's a real conundrum in that, as I see it, because Sinn Féin have stated clearly we want to lead a left-leaning government. It's very difficult to do that, as I see, based on the numbers that are there. Based on the numbers that are there, and if you're to avoid a confidence and supply arrangement, I think it's difficult to create a stable government that is fit to deliver on anything without two of the big three.
I mean,
you have
pretty much abandoned the idea of a left-leaning government now, in terms of the, you know, what Mary Lou has said and what other senior members, what Ono Brin has said on the record, that it's just as much as it would be your preferred option. It simply would not deliver anything. Even if you got to the numbers, you wouldn't get the stability.
Well, it's not off the table, and I'm not in a position here to say that it is off the table.
Highly unlikely, though.
I suppose there's not all doors are closed in relation to it. It's the avenue we're continuing to pursue. But I think that the
45 votes
I appreciate that. But the question we will keep coming back to here is, how does any government coming in deliver on their very clear mandate? Whatever about the numbers in terms of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, there was a very significant step to the left, or whatever direction you want to call it, in the Irish political landscape. So if the next government coming in, it doesn't reflect that, I think it's a damning indictment of the political process.
Okay, Colette, 45 votes. Was it a victory of sorts for Mary Lou MacDonald?
When the history books are written about this period and people are writing about what happened, what will go down in the record is that Mary Lou MacDonald received the most votes today, and which is a seismic achievement for Sinn Féin. And I heard Damien English on Primetime earlier, and he was speaking about qualified votes as well. And yes, certainly, you know, there was a qualification to some of the people before profit votes. But the fact is that they voted for her, and she got the 45, and she got more than Leo Varadkar and Micheál Martin. And I thought it was interesting that Leo Varadkar even put his name forward, because he was saying a couple of days ago that he relished the opportunity of going into opposition, and suddenly he's trying to pretend that he really wants to be Taoiseach. And it just, I think it cheapens the whole thing, and there was a sense of people kind of going through the motions just for the sake of it. In relation to the left-leaning government for Sinn Féin, Like, Eoin Óibrín came out last week and said, you know, we can't do this government. The left-leaning government is out unless we have support of either Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael. And I have no idea why the party decided to resile from that over the course of the weekend and suddenly pretend that a left-leaning government was a possibility. It's not a possibility. And if there was a minority government, there would be no confidence in supply agreement from either Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael. They wouldn't be able to get a budget over the line by October. The government would collapse. They wouldn't get anything done. And so Ireland's first experience of a left-leaning government would be a complete shambles in which nothing was done. And I don't know why Sinn Féin...
Why would Sinn Féin want to be associated with that?
What I have said in relation to this is the conundrum is delivering on the clear mandate within the reality of you need two of the big three, in my opinion. Yeah,
but what Colette is saying is that you seem to face the reality last week and then, as Colette said, resile from it and go back to this kind of semi-charade of talking to the people before profits and all the other left-leaning independents, keeping alive this notion that we can deliver this
and
type
keeping
of
alive, keeping alive the Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael narrative that it is a possibility. Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's damaging for Sinn Féin to keep on the pretense that it is, because what's going to happen is it's going to end in failure ultimately. Then Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are going to swoop in and try to save the day by forming their own government. So I think it'd be much better for Sinn Féin to just face the music and say, listen, we don't have the numbers. No, we've tried our best.
But I think in fairness, outside of the individual personalities or party groupings that are, it's about the programme for government that delivers on the clear mandate for change. So rather than, I think, looking at Sinn Féin's approach in relation to it, and in fairness, we have made an effort to engage with...
I know, but you can't conjure left-wing TDs from the ether and put them in government. I mean, they just aren't there. They don't exist.
No, I appreciate all that. But in terms of delivering on the mandate for change... So in my opinion, and that's why we have been critical in particular of Fianna Fáil's approach in relation to it, because they're claiming that they want to be a party for change. There needs to be an arrangement that involves two of the three major parties to provide a stability and also a party fit to deliver on any degree of a mandate.
So that's your personal view, is that you do need Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, and I suppose Fianna Fáil would be your first port of call there.
Well, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is there needs
you
to be...
Is that not what you just said?
What I'm saying is there needs to be a conversation in relation... So parties need to talk. That's my starting position in relation to this, and that's why I believe it incredibly frustrating that Fianna Fáil are walking away from the negotiations in relation to what a programme for government could look like to deliver on the clear mandate for change. Because the conundrum we're going to come back to is that there is a clear mandate for change, and we'll end up with Fianna Fáil in coalition with Fine Gael, and completely, in my opinion, a betrayal of the electorate.
Okay, I just put to you what John McGuinness said today in the Dáil? He said that it was entirely wrong to rule out speaking to any one party, and clearly he was alluding to Fianna Fáil, his own party's position on Sinn Féin.
Yeah, but that's John McGuinness's opinion and he's entitled to it. But we had a parliamentary party, and I won't say it was unanimous, because obviously John wasn't of that view, but the overwhelming majority of the parliamentary party was that we would not talk to Sinn Féin for reasons outlined in Micheál Martin's speech today, because we feel that there is serious policy differences between us and them. And, like, don't forget...
But
that
there's serious policy differences between every single party that are going to go into these government formation talks. Would you accept that, Robert Troy?
There is policy differences, but there's some policies that are far more compatible with... Some parties have policies that are far more compatible than others. And if you look at the Sinn Féin election manifesto in relation to the whole area of enterprise, in terms of the additional taxation that they're talking about bringing in on corporations, if you look at the policy in terms of even eroding the taxation base, as something that we were criticised for in the past in terms of eroding a tax base and leading to problems down the line.
I find it completely incredible that we've just come through and that we're drifting towards a coalition between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, and that is not going to deliver the type of change. Can I ask you something, Maurice, and you make your point then, okay?
But the question is exactly, just following on from what Darren O'Rourke said there, are you not concerned that having acknowledged that this was a mandate for change, that people, particularly younger voters, crying out for change, that what Fianna Fáil are now setting their sights on is putting Fine Gael back into government, the people you have criticised hugely over the last number of years, over the last 9 years, and turning your back on the party that got the most votes from that cohort?
What we're focused on...
Are you not concerned about how that will play for Fianna Fáil ultimately?
What we're concerned about is how do we negotiate a radical programme for government, a programme for government that can address the serious deficiencies that are out there. I've heard it.
But Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are not negotiating a radical programme for government, ever.
I canvassed every evening. I met the people. I got quite a substantial mandate myself. I delivered 2 seats in Longford West Mead for my party against the tide. I know what the issues out there. I want to address the issues out there.
But we've had 100 years, no one party
has a divine right to be in government. We in previous elections got 42% of the first preference vote and were in opposition. No. That's that, you know, just because you got 24%, a quarter of the vote, doesn't give you a divine right to be in government.
We've had 100 years of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael running this country.
I'm sorry, Darren, just because you have 24% of the first preference vote, you do not have a divine right to serve in government.
But there are fundamental differences
that has been outlined, and what we have said is we are going to work with other like-minded
Fine Gael that feel like, in my opinion, feel like they have a divine right, and we can point to 100 years of history of that divine right as it seems to manifest. But you want to go to government. Okay, let Gary come in. One second.
He's criticising us in one breath, and another breath he wants to go into government with us. Every time Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael were in government in the last 100 years, you know why? Because they were democratically elected by the people, Darren. But nobody has a divine right.
But let's be clear.
There's three political parties now with a similar seat number, and the onus is on a party like ourselves who wants to go. We have 37 seats. We want to talk with other parties to put them forward.
Okay, Darren, just one sec. Let Robert finish. Darren, please, let Robert finish.
A programme for government that is going to deliver for the people who wants action now.
We know what it looks like for Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael to be in government together. It is a farce to suggest that that is going to be a radical programme for change. In what world does that exist? In my opinion, we know we've had 100 years experience of it. We've had very recent experience in terms of the policy platforms that both these parties put before the people. We know the implications of it. We're living with the implications of it. The people that we met on the doors... wanted change.
Okay.
Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael in government is not change.
Let's talk about Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael in government as a possible option. In the common, in the Commons in Mullingar, Robert Troy, how will that go down? I mean, the old enemy, one generation or two generations away from the Civil War, are people going to be happy to embrace Fine Gael and possibly? In circumstances where it will change both Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael forever?
There's undoubtedly difficult decisions ahead for a lot of political parties. But we do have to look at how we're going to put in place a government that can deliver.
Robert, you're a terrible man tonight for going off and answering a completely different question to the one I asked you. I'm saying at a grassroots level, surely the prospect of going into government with Fine Gael after the last 9 years in particular, but after the last 100 years in general, must be a strike fear and loathing into the hearts of many Fianna Fáil activists and grassroots members.
I never joined Fianna Fáil because of Civil War stance of 100 years ago. I joined Fianna Fáil because I felt they were a progressive party, they were a party that were doing a lot of good work in the community that I was born and raised in, that there was public representatives there that was on the ground and delivering for our community. And I felt I know parents involved in any political party before that, and that's the reason why I felt so. I'm not
so involved. You're a very unusual Fianna Fáil today, one with no baggage.
I'm not involved because of a stance that was taken back during the Civil War. What I would say is that I think all parties are going to have a job of work to do in terms of talking and engaging with their respective members. I don't think any political party's members are enthusiastic about what the eventual outcome is going to be in relation to government formation. But I do believe that most people and most political activists in all parties are there because they want to see good done in their community, are there because they have a general interest in improving civic society. And I think if we go back with, and I revert back to this the whole time, if we go back with a programme for government that will address the issues, I think members in our party will respond in a positive disposition towards that.
Gary?
Well, I think there must be some reflection by party members of the result. You know, and Fianna Fáil grassroots, and more than anyone else, have to take cognizance of the fact that they now only have 2.5% of the vote, that the 42s, Robert got 50% twice, remember. And party membership has collapsed in Ireland. I mean, beyond university branches, no matter what the politicians will tell you, very few people join political parties. And now the membership lists are a mess in all parties. And so, but all across Europe, with the exception, bizarrely, of Labour in Britain, and we know what happened to them in the general election, party membership has declined substantially. But we've seen here tonight the difficulties for both...
That's not the case with Sinn Féin. I can say that categorically.
I'm looking forward to the next list. I'm happy to chat with you privately,
but it's not the case.
But that's what the evidence would tell us anyway. Certainly up to very recently, whatever, in the last year or so. But yeah, we've seen tonight it's going to be extremely difficult to negotiate a coalition simply on the grounds of all this bilateral talk will take, if it's going to take weeks, what happens then for the multilateral talks? This is why I think, for instance, that Sinn Féin are quite happy to get the five people before profit, TDs and a couple of extra left, because they're obviously going to disappear. And to go back to Colette's point, she will be in, Mary Lou will be in the history books. And it's no more, it's optics and nothing else, I would have thought.
OK, I need to take a break, but I do want to continue this discussion about the various options for the three parties in this after these.
The Late Debate with Katie Hannon on RTE Radio 1.
And you're welcome back. A couple of texts in there. I haven't given Fianna Fáil a vote since Jack Lynch was leader, but if his fellow Corkman Micheál Martin remains steadfast in his opposition to a similar challenge to our democracy, they will be back near the top of my next ballot paper, says Joseph. Yep. And another one, a great day for all in Dáil-Éireann today, especially for the newly elected. The posturing will go on while the country flounders. The various party leaders should be locked in a room until they come up with an agreed cross-party government that employs the best in each party to run the country. Lock the leaders up until we have white smoke. In terms of those options, and we've heard Robert and Darren trading their various positions there. But in terms of the bigger picture for Micheál Martin, because he has put himself in the driving seat of trying to somehow find a route to government. But when he looks at his options, Sinn Féin in government with him, Sinn Féin sitting over there in the opposition benches growing in strength, Fine Gael in government with him are sitting over there in the opposition benches, regrouping and finding themselves again. It is the absolute example of a rock and a hard place.
It's completely. And, you know, he has only himself to blame in one respect, because of the red lines that he painted in advance of the election. And because Micheál Martin was so convinced that the party was going to return with in excess of 50 seats. And that's what he was aiming for. He was sure he was going to get it. He put a big bet on getting that number of TDs through, because he thought he'd have a Fianna Fáil, and then you'd have the Greens, and you'd have the Soc Dems, and maybe a couple of independents, and they'd be able to make up the numbers. And unfortunately for him, they haven't been. And he's at real crossroads now, because any option represents a real danger. So for Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael to go into government together, it's basically the end of civil war politics. So it'd be an admission from both Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael that actually there's no ideological difference with them. They can easily do business with each other, and maybe the people will see that there isn't that much of a difference between them after all. If he leaves Sinn Féin on the opposition benches, Sinn Féin's strength will grow and grow and grow, because they'll be the country's main opposition opposition, and they do opposition really quite well, as we've seen over the last number of years.
Well, in defence of Micheál Martin, I do think that he has very strong moral objections and has held for ever since he became leader, and even before that, to governing with Sinn Féin. It's whether we like it or not, that is his stance, and he's been perfectly, he's been very strong in holding it for ever since he became a party, a TD back in 1989, so 30 years he's been.
But he also ruled out Fine Gael, Gary.
No, I understand.
With the same level of kind of venom.
I do understand that, and I don't disagree with you, Colette, in relation to the difficulties he faces, because it seems to me that certainly if Fine Gael ever decided to run a half-decent campaign, whether coming out of government or in opposition, that there is probably more than 22% who would vote for him. Fianna Fáil are now part of what is a very congested centre-left with a very strong, what do you call them, hard left, but further to the left, certainly in economic terms, Sinn Féin.
Michael McNamara, looking at how this is unfolding, what is your sense like? Are we looking squarely in the face of possibly another election?
God, I hope not. I mean,
fear into the heart of any just elected TD, but...
No, but I mean, look, I don't know what would change if there was another election. I mean, I may or may not retain my seat. Darren may or may not retain his seat. Robert,
I think Darren would
not
retain his seat.
But
me too.
You think you'd have a good chance too, by the way.
Thanks very much. But I mean, at the end of the day, it's not about individuals. I don't see the overall Dáil numbers would change very much and we'd have the same situation again. And ultimately, you know, people elect 160 TDs to in turn elect a stable government. And I think that they're the fundamentals of it. And I think if they elect 160 TDs who can't come up with any government at all, I mean, there could be a sense of a plague in all your houses. That's my sense of it. I mean, if my other sense of it is, I mean, Micheál Martin, I voted for Micheál Martin for Taoiseach today.
Yeah, why did you vote for
Micheál? Because I think Micheál Martin is the best chance of, I mean, you can only choose from the choices that are put before you, and there were four choices. He's the best chance of a Taoiseach to lead a government that reflects the change that people want. And there are a variety of changes that people want. Obviously, all of them won't be delivered. But, you know, I'm...
And do you think if a government led by Micheál Martin in coalition with Fine Gael will be the government of change the people want?
I would have my doubts. I mean, I'll wait and see what that programme for government would contain, but I would have my doubts. I think Fine Gael...
So in what way would Micheál Martin... What combination were you anticipating when you voted for him today?
I mean, Fianna Fáil has a long history of moving from a fairly radical left government once upon a very long time ago, maybe 90 years ago, to, it was one of the more, the greater redistributions of wealth in Western Europe. I mean, the carving up of the estates, the land commission, all of that sort of stuff, carried out many of the reforms the social democratic governments have carried out, to being quite a right-wing government when it went into coalition with the PDs. I mean, that's the history of Fianna Fáil. I think that you could see a government under, of the four Taoiseach that were there to be elected today, I mean, I think the only possibility of a government that reflects the change that people, I think, voted for, and I mean, that's my political judgment, would be one led by Micheál Martin, but I would find it difficult to see. I mean, I think Fine Gael don't particularly want to go into government. I think Fine Gael is a more right-wing party than issues like housing.
So do you think Micheál Martin as going into government with Sinn Féin is what you anticipate might actually happen down the line?
You
voted for him. I'm asking you what kind of a government did you think he might be Taoiseach of?
I wait and see. I mean, but I think that is one of the possibilities, clearly, when all the talking is done. I mean, I find it hard to see that Fine Gael is... I mean, I was a backbencher in a Fine Gael-led government, and it was very much led by Fine Gael for 5 years. And it's quite a right-wing party. I mean, and we see that now in housing, we see that in a variety of social issues. But also, I mean, one of the big fundamentals for me, and one of the big fundamentals I think in this state, is a sense of imbalanced development. I mean, development has just powered ahead in Dublin at the expense of other regions, and also at the expense of Dublin, where you have an infrastructure that can't cope with it.
Yeah, Robert, your preference is to put a government back in place, a party back into government that you have said repeatedly, and so many of your party colleagues have said repeatedly, are ideologically opposed to social housing and sorting out the housing problem.
Look, we can rehash this time and time again what we want to do is work with other smaller parties, like-minded parties, to lead an alternative government and to work on a new programme for government that delivers the change that the people want. I'm quite fascinated by people saying this evening, you know, that nearly automatically party support falls when they're in government. There is governments that have been re-elected. There has been Fianna Fáil governments over the years that have been re-elected, that have saw their support actually grow in government. And the reason why their support grew in government is because there were good governments. There were governments that delivered.
If you're talking about the Fianna Fáil-led governments in the 90s and the noughties,
well, I think
there might be some dispute about the history. History might have a different view.
People objectively looked at the 1997 to 2002 government as a quite a good government, a government that saw huge investment in infrastructure, a government that before we became overly reliant on
property. Yeah, I was going to ask about the government from 2002 to 2007, which did get re-elected.
It was a government that was hadn't a huge majority, a government that was 97 to 2002, a government that was a minority government that was very much answerable to the Dáil, that had to work across political parties in terms of the policies that it pursued. But it was a government that was rewarded for the work that had done. And I don't think any party should be afraid to serve in government, because by saying you're somewhat afraid to serve in government, or that automatically your support is going to fall in government, you're actually saying, well, we don't have the capability, or we don't have the solutions to the problems that are out there now. We would love to be in government to address the deficiencies that are in health, to address the deficiencies that are in housing, in mental health, and disabilities.
Were the SSIA schemes and decentralisation, were they announced before the election in 2000?
And the electorate has changed substantially since the crash.
They may have had something to do with it.
The electorate has just changed enormously since the economic crash. I mean, Fianna Fáil, up to the economic crash, only went under 40% twice in 92 and 97, and then they went up. But since the crash, I mean, the governance is very difficult. Michael, to my left, knows what it was like for the Labour Party. We know what it was like for the Greens, and when they came out of that that government during the crash. Government is difficult.
Yeah, Darren.
So I suppose if just in thinking it through, like if we flip the conundrum on its head, you could reasonably ask the question: how can you exclude Sinn Féin from the next government, which is the obvious intention of Fianna Fáil and the obvious intention of Fine Gael, exclude Sinn Féin from the next government and deliver significantly on the mandate for change that was very clearly given directly through Sinn Féin, but also through other left parties, the Social Democrats and the Green Party? And I believe you can't do it. You can't do it.
But Micheál Martin will say, and maybe ultimately Leo Varadkar will say, if he decides he's not going to be leading the opposition, that that they have heard. They have heard the people. They have seen what the people are demanding, and that they will put together a programme for government that will reflect that.
And we might point to the last 9 years. We might point to the last 90 years. We might point to those political parties and what they stand for.
But Darren, by the same token, if you look at the exit poll, you were by far and away but you were the most popular party in that exit poll. But it also showed that you were the least popular party after Fine Gael to put back into government. So there is a Marmite element, and there is a significant number of people who would be horrified with Sinn Féin in government.
Well, I think, you know, and there have been a number of opinion polls since in terms of people's preference, in terms of the next Taoiseach and the inclusion of Sinn Féin in the next government. And I don't think it necessarily reflects what the exit polls might say. But I think it fundamentally is that question. There's been the 8th of February was very, very significant. There was a very, very significant shift in politics in Ireland. And I cannot see how Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are fit to deliver on that, given their experience.
I think that the public are going to lose patience quite quickly, because, I mean, the numbers are obvious. I was on a taxi on the way out here this evening, and the taxi driver was talking about it, and he said, "Do the politicians think we're stupid? We all know which way this is going." So Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have said quite categorically that they are not going to do a deal with Sinn Féin. I don't know why Sinn Féin, as a strategy, are not singing this constantly from the rooftops and saying that we can't form a government because they won't allow us to, they won't talk to us. Because it's inevitable that the efforts to form a left-leaning coalition, there's too many independents in the mix, it's not going to be able to be done. So why doesn't Sinn Féin put the ball back into Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael's court and just say, listen, get on with it. Indeed. We know you're going to do it.
Indeed. And I have to take my last break.
The Late Debate with Katie Hannan on RTE Radio 1.
And we're almost out of time. In the last 10 seconds, Gary, the Taoiseach obviously was up in the Oras this evening handing back his seal of office. What will his tenure be remembered for?
I think it'll be remembered for the fact that he couldn't get re-elected, basically, to be blunt. He has been rejected by the people and...
Well, in fairness, Brexit, I think. The government performed well.
We got a bit of yin and yang there, a bit of light and dark, and I have to leave it there. Tonight's programme was produced by Regina Henley, research was by A.B. Philbin-Bowman. The broadcast coordinator was Elaine Conlon and Gar Duffy was on sound. I want to thank my panel for joining us this evening and hand over now to Colm Murray on Late Date.